TNNF, Talk 99.5. 13 hours of live and local conversation heard Monday through Friday on these airwaves, 99.5, 100,000 watts of FM power. You can also pick us up on a variety of social media platforming, including our website. We're streaming right there at talk99.5.com. There are many apps available, most of which are run by tech companies that are picking and winning, picking and choosing winners and losers. We've been discussing that mostly for the duration of the morning, and we'll continue to do so momentarily with a guest, Benji Sawyer. I'll explain what Benji. Well, I'll let Benji explain what he does in just a moment. I wanted to finish up with Ben Big Hub, though. He had begun the conversation about being up in Washington, D.C. last week. Didn't want to interrupt you, Hub, in advance of our guest. Didn't want you to have to hold.
I appreciate it, brother. As I was saying, Matt, I would say not. I don't like using percentages, but 98% of the people that were there for the right reason, and that little handful screwed our message up. And, you know, I hate to say this about the old boy that just called Scott. I guarantee if Scott would have been there, he would have been one crawling through the window, busting the windows out the way he talks. I think he should probably run for office if he wants to change something. But anyway, Matt, I wound up walking too far away from my car, and I couldn't make it back. My dialysis and my legs got to me, and I was two blocks from my car. There was hundreds of police, never offered to help. I called every cab company in D.C., oh, no, we cannot come down there because of curfew. We cannot come down there. So I couldn't even get a cab. Homeless people were coming up and trying to help me more than anybody else. But there was a Mason. I'm a Freemason, and there was a brother Mason that come up from West Virginia, and he stayed with me. I had to eventually call 911 and go spend the night in the emergency room to recover from the day of all the walking. If you've been to D.C., you know how big their blocks are. And but anyway, I spent the night in the emergency room, and I was able to make it back to my car the next morning. But I'll tell you, the message I'm bringing back to my friends is keep doing what you're doing to make America great. And another thing, just because a person has an R or a D in front of their name, that's not a reason to vote for them. I'll never vote for anybody again until I know exactly what they stand for. If they have any history, I want to know about it, because I've been guilty in the last 10 or 15 years of just going in there and pulling that R ticket and walking out. Never going to do that again. So just keep doing what we're doing, and maybe we can find some people we can put up there that will make a difference.
Well, Hub, that's an incredible story. I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad you found refuge. I hate that you had to call 911 and get an ambulance. But you know, I guess
I offered the ambulance driver $100 to take me two blocks to my car, and they said, "No, we can't do that. We have to take you to the emergency room." Well, I couldn't get any security guard. I tell you, man, once you get past Mid Virginia, people change, man. You can go into a store in Georgia. Hey, hon, how you doing? Can I help you? But once you get past Virginia, man, it's just absolutely insane, the difference in people.
We're different. I mean, obviously, the South different than the North. We're a big old melting pot of chunky stew there. So, Hub, I'm glad that you made it out okay. And continue to talk to us about the things that you experienced in Washington, D.C. last week. Glad you're safe and sound. From Sawyer Solutions, Benji Sawyer is going to join us to talk a little about tech. And I know that he joins your security guys from time to time. And I had David Sears reach out to Benji to help us understand exactly what's going on with big tech and what we can do to kind of lay the groundwork to push back or perhaps create our own. Benji joins us this morning on the Birmingham Broker phone lines. Hey, Benji, good morning. Good to meet you via the phone.
Good to meet you.
Benji, tell us a little about Sawyer Solutions and what you do.
Sure. So we're a company. We help small to medium-sized businesses and nonprofits with their technology, security, network stuff, you know, make sure their computers run properly, internet issues quite often, making sure the printers work and you don't have to beat them with a baseball bat, that kind of stuff.
Well, I understand that because all of us have wanted to beat our computers with a bait. At least I have.
Oh, yes. Yes, no. It's, we do too. We get it.
And if you ever have a chance to, by the way, an old system, it's very satisfying. Benji, I wanted somebody that understood this more than me to come on and explain, you know, what exactly the structure of the internet is like. And I know that this is an incredibly complex question, but, you know, some of listeners to this show are asking, well, how in the heck can Amazon or Google or Apple or any other big tech company tell this, you know, company like Parler what they can and cannot do, what content they can and cannot allow, and how are they allowed to deplatform, if you will, which is kind of the word du jour, Parler, but some of, you know, if you want to go on the internet and find some of the most god-awful stuff, you can find it if you want to. You know, how all this works, I know that that's an incredibly broad question, but I'll throw it out there to you, Benji. How do you respond to it?
Sure. So the basis of the internet is the same as it was back in the dial-up days to now. You have your underlying carriers, right? And they're the ones that actually carry the data, you know, that when you plug your modem into the wall, your computer into your modem, or you connect via Wi-Fi or whatever, right? Those are underlying carriers. Those are people like AT&T. There's a lot of names you guys won't recognize, Level 3, Cogent, that kind of stuff. But they actually are the ones that actually just carry the data, right? They're like the roads you drive on, mm-hmm. for instance. Mm-hmm. Okay. Depending on how political you want to get here, they're supposed to be agnostic as to the data they carry. But if you guys remember back a while ago, a lot of carriers like Comcast were wanting to essentially tax Netflix because a lot of people were using Netflix data. And there's some legislation involved and blah, blah, blah. But anyway, the idea behind them is they're supposed to be agnostic. They're supposed to just carry the data, don't care where it's from, who it's going to, all that kind of stuff. And just like a road, right? Anyone can drive on the road. Even if you're driving illegally, you can still drive on the road until they catch you. The roads are just there to be used. So that's the basis underlying thing. Okay. Mm-hmm. And Google, Netflix, you know, Facebook, Amazon, these all run off those roads. All right. It's just like trucking companies use the roads just like, you know, consumer cars do. Right. So they're all using the same roads. So that's the basis of the actual internet infrastructure, the physical infrastructure that runs it. So Amazon is a different beast than, say, Google or Facebook. Facebook is a social media. It is an application itself, right? Google is a collection of applications. They're a search engine. You know, they own YouTube. They have email. You know, they're all applications, right? So Amazon, while they do have an application, they do have Amazon itself, the website where you go buy stuff. The Parler was hosted on what's called AWS, Amazon Web Services. And they are a way for you to just host your website or whatever you want, really, on Amazon's servers. Amazon has set up massive data centers all over the country, all over the world, and you can just basically rent time on their servers to host your stuff. And there's benefits to doing that. They're not the only player in this game. They are one of the biggest ones. Microsoft is also is like number two in size. Azure Web Services, AWS, also is not to be confused with Amazon's, but they also have the same kind of thing. You can rent servers. Oracle has servers. There's lots of companies out there that have servers. And so that is fundamentally different from just the internet traffic. So if people aren't aware, if you want to start selling, I'm going to take a bit of a tangent to explain. If you're going to start selling homemade cookies, right, to people, you have to use a commercial kitchen for this. You can't actually use, like, if you're going to actually have a business, you can't use your own kitchen.
Right.
Right? I think most people understand this. So there are actually companies out there.
Unless your kitchen is commercial grade.
Right. Yes. Unless you have to get it inspected and all that.
Right.
You don't want to go to that expense. You have to rent a commercial kitchen. Now, if you're only selling a little bit of cookies, you don't want to actually rent an entire kitchen, right? So there are companies out there that will rent you time in their kitchens, and so it's kind of like that, right? So Amazon has built up this infrastructure for their own personal needs initially, but they had extra capacity, so they're like, well, why don't we rent it to people? Now that's actually become a business model from them. So like they actually have their stuff, and they have the stuff they rent out now. That's how it actually develops. So you just go and you just rent the time you need it, and that's what you're doing. You're actually paying for time, for clock cycles of the computer.
All right, you're talking a language that I can understand. I know a local business And I'll give them a plug because they're good friends. Dax Spices, right? They're a young local startup. They've been doing their thing for, gosh, a decade now. But they only need kitchens for a certain amount of time at a certain time of the month to do their spices. And so they do exactly what you're talking about. Instead of going through the capital expense of getting a kitchen, they rent a kitchen. So I understand that. So is that that's what Parler was doing with Amazon?
Exactly that. Okay. And so Amazon has since come back, and you know, there's nothing, you didn't even understand, there's nothing illegal about what they've done, right? And there's a lot of parallels being drawn in a lot of ways. But Amazon has come back and said, hey, look, I don't want you using my kitchen anymore. Go somewhere else. Okay, so you know, whether or not you want to allow this, whether it's a violation of free speech, that's kind of a...
And they get to be, and I don't mean to interrupt you, but I, just so many questions through my head. I mean, this is great information, Benji. And they get to be hypocrites if they want to, or double standard if they want to. Like, I mean, because, you know, a lot of, you know, myself included, are like, hey, Amazon, will you let this person in your kitchen? You let that? And they're like, well, you know, yeah, we do. Too bad. I mean, it's their company, I guess. They can be hypocrites if they want to be.
Exactly that. So you know, there's a lot of parallels being drawn to the people, to that baker in Colorado who keeps getting sued because he doesn't want to bake cakes for you know, gay weddings and trans birthdays and that kind of stuff, right? You know, there's what's understand is that there's a fundamental difference here. You know, in some ways though, it's the same thing, right? People don't want to force a business to do something they morally object to. Now in this case, the guy had, you know, the argument of, it's against my religion, which is a fundamentally protected class, right? You know, whereas Amazon's just like, I don't like you, go away. I mean, they're saying you're inciting violence or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But it's really, I don't like you, go away. But the same kind of rules apply, right? You don't necessarily want to force businesses to do business with people they don't want to do business with. You know, there are places where you have forced it. You know, for instance, you can't make a discrimination based off of race or whatever. But by and large, even then, you don't want to say, hey, look, you got to do business with me, whether you like me or not, because that's a sticky road to go down. Now, if you're going to start making this a First Amendment issue, it's a free speech issue, all that kind of stuff, because now people like, you know, you're actually, you know, Facebook or whatever is the public square, you know, this is equivalent to the, you know, someone going into public square and saying, no, you can't talk here. That's a different matter. It's a legal argument. You know, the lawyers need to get involved and blah, blah, blah. But that's not where we currently are.
All right. So hold your thought there. Benji Sawyer is our guest. He is with Sawyer Solutions. He is a tech guru. Heard, you know, on occasion on Your Security Guys on the weekends, and I needed to lean on someone who understood all of this stuff more than me, and Benji was my guy, and obviously he knows what he's talking about. So 44 after the hour, we'll continue the conversation momentarily. Right now, I do want to remind you about my friends at Royal Betting. Talk about knowing how to do stuff better than me. Tom, Ginger, TJ, they know how to make mattresses. I do not. Although I've seen the deliveries of the various parts of the mattress, and it fascinates me that they have a mattress factory right there in Pelham, Alabama to make your mattress. You know, you go to a lot of different mattress stores, and maybe some of these guys have been taught, you know, what goes into making a mattress, but have they made one? No, they haven't. They have. TJ has. Tom has. Ginger has. They've laid their hands on it, and they can custom make you a mattress, and they can sell you Amish furniture, and they're friendly folks besides, and they're a local company, and all of those things add up to one great night's sleep. RoyalBeddingInc.com to find out what their mattresses can bring to you, the adjustable platforms can bring to you, RoyalBeddingInc.com, or better yet, go say hey to TJ and the rest of the gang at Royal Bedding, Highway 31 in Pelham. The question of big tech, what do you do, and what can't you do? Benji Sawyer is with us regarding that, with Sawyer Solutions, talking about how the internet works and what a functional workaround would be if you ideologically or out of your, you know, a sense of conscience, don't want to be a part of Facebook or Twitter or the like anymore. And, you know, I forget where we left it off, David. There's so many questions. Benji, there's so many questions swirling around my head I'll just ask you this. So if, you know, much like I don't have to go into the restaurant if the restaurant, you know, has rules that I don't like or treats people in a way that I don't like, I don't have to go on Twitter, but you know, a lot of people are feeling like they're shutting down a lot of options based on political affiliation. In other words, you know, we don't like how Twitter's doing their business. So, hey, Parler is an acceptable option. We go to Parler and, oh, look at there. Suddenly Amazon and Apple and Google seem to be working in concert. I don't necessarily think they are, but it's what it seems. That's the perception to shut that political discourse down. You can understand how people feel this way. What are our options? What do we do?
So, no, I completely understand. And I would actually say I think they actually are acting in concert. You know, these guys all know each other. They eat lunch together. They're all peers. So, you know, whether or not they're acting as a monopoly, that's something that, you know, and need to be busted up like monopoly. That's something to handle by the politicians. But what you can do as a person or, for instance, the CEO of Parler, there are several options. And that they range, you know, from easy to implement to difficult to implement. The most difficult to implement, the most expensive to implement, but long term gives them the best options and to prevent this from happening again is set up their own data centers. So you know they Amazon has their own data centers, Microsoft has their own data centers. It's not going to be cheap, and it's not going to be nearly as easy to do as it is to just spin up an AWS instance in the cloud, which is what they call it. But you can buy your own physical servers. Get the fiber run to your premises, set up your infrastructure, and all that kind of stuff. So it is a doable thing. There are plenty of businesses out there that still host their own data centers. So it's not an uncommon thing. It's not an impossible task. It's expensive and it's time consuming, but it's doable. So that's option number one. Option number two is they could rent data center space. The DC Blocks has a building in Birmingham, right? And they are a data center where you can shove your own servers in. They're pretty agnostic about what they host because they're just renting you physical space. So you can look into DC Blocks. It's a little easier to set up than it would be your own complete data center since they actually have the infrastructure there. You're just shoving your server in place. So those are options. Or you can look at the alternative places to host. You know, I'm sure they are. Microsoft has a big one. I don't know if they're going to want Parler there or not. Oracle has one. IBM has them. There are tons of these providers out there. And I did read that the Parler CEO said they built their infrastructure off of bare metals, as opposed to Amazon has done a lot of things and you can utilize their platform in certain ways that would lock you into Amazon. And Parler apparently didn't do that, which is a smart move on their part. So it should be fairly easy to port them to a different hosting system like Amazon's if they can find one that's available.
Have we only 2 minutes left. The only reason I interrupt you, sure. Benji, because this is very, very intriguing. But real quick, I've presented the premise that we have allowed ourselves to become in some way addicted to social media. And one of the reasons that some of this is giving a lot of conservatives heartburn is because they are addicted to Facebook or Twitter or whatnot. Would you agree with that?
Oh, 100%. That's intentional. Watch The Social Dilemma on Netflix. This is an intentional assault upon our peoples, by Twitter, Facebook, and so on and so forth.
What would your solution be to that? Do we have to just extract ourselves? Because, you know, I chose, it's a part of my job. And you know, we've made it a part of our platform on talk radio. And I have to evaluate whether or not I can continue on Twitter or Facebook if they don't represent the values that I do. What do you say?
Those are all valid choices. I'm on Facebook. Once again, you know, my business is on Facebook. But I try and limit how much I'm there and limit how much I engage. And my children are not. You know, don't let your kids on Facebook, people. Just don't.
And God, for God's sakes, don't let them on Twitter or Instagram. Oh, my Lord, that's even worse.
Yes.
I mean, because I've said that Facebook is one thing, and it's kind of turned for the worse. Twitter is like Facebook with all of the negativity and yelling and none of the recipes and photos of food. You know what I mean? And family connections. It's just Benji, I'm sorry to have to leave it there. I do. Look, let's do this again very soon because we're going to be talking about big tech a lot over the next several weeks, I feel, and maybe even months. I want to talk to you about Section 230 one of these days, okay?
Sure.
Benji, great stuff. There's Benji Sawyer from Sawyer Solutions.